So happy you're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're turning our attention to Wisconsin's fermented foods. A couple of guests for you today who have a whole lot to talk about as we visit about our heritage, our food heritage here in the state. Donna Neuwirth, one of our guests from Reedsburg, Wisconsin. She's the executive director and co-founder of Worm Farm Institute. Donna, nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
The Worm Farm Institute, by the way, is a nonprofit organization. It works to build thriving communities through the arts and sustainable agriculture. Adrian Fox, our other guest today, is a fourth-generation pickle maker and is the owner and creator of Power Kraut. It's a small family farm business in Viroqua, and its mission is to hand-produce delicious live probiotic fermented foods to serve the health needs of our children, our teens, and our adults as well. And I've had a chance to sample. Adrian, welcome, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for being with us. I'm telling you, they brought some samples along with them today, and I've had a chance to sample, and believe me, I'm sorry you're not here to try it as well. Just some delicious products. And we'll talk with them about what they're doing. We'll talk with them about fermented foods. And certainly we'll invite your questions and comments as we move along. If you'd like to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. And the email address is talk@wpr.org. It's talk@wpr.org. And again, welcome both. Thanks so much. The Worm Farm Institute's holding an event in called the Reedsburg Fermentation Fest.
Yes, that's right. The first annual, <Donna? laughs> the first annual Reedsburg Fermentation Fest, and we're showcasing fermented foods, but also live cultures. And so we're calling it Fermentation Fest, a live culture convergence. And most people don't think about whether something is fermented or not, but it turns out lots of wonderful things are.
Like what?
Well, beer.
Perhaps I know that.
The best known and loved, but there's also soy sauce and yogurt and wine and cheese and kefir and chocolate and vanilla and, of course, sauerkraut that Adrian can tell you more about.
What are some examples of foods that we love in Wisconsin that are fermented with live cultures? You mentioned live cultures.
Well, we're trying to include some cheeses that are not necessarily fermented but are live cultured. So I'm not the technical person here. I'm the person that's inviting all the people in to teach classes and have workshops and have demonstrations. So perhaps Adrian can answer the more technical questions.
as we go along here. Well, you have all of these, and I'll just stay with you for just a minute. Mm-hmm. You're combining the arts and food. How did this all come together?
Well, in addition to cheese and yogurt, we add the arts and the humanities, and that's what the Worm Farm does. We integrate culture and agriculture. We don't think that that's so strange.
No.
The word culture is the Latin for cultivar, to cultivate, to till the soil. So actually the arts have been part of cultivating and farming for centuries, and it's only recently that it appears to be something strange. But it's a creative process. Farmers go through a very creative process to grow our food. Artists go through a very creative process. And this year, the main course of the Fermentation Fest is the Traveling Smithsonian exhibit called Key Ingredients, America by Food. Mm. And so that's the main course of this particular year's cultural offerings. And not only are we hosting the Smithsonian exhibit, but we've developed lots of other local exhibits exploring the rich culture of food in the Reedsburg area.
Adrian, the story about how Power Kraut got going is really a great one. Maybe you can talk about that.
Oh, sure. Power Kraut, the name Power Kraut comes from children. And Power Kraut is really coming from children for children. And I will share this little story. When I was teaching kindergarten, my children, every every day we prepared organic meal of warm cooked vegetables. So on Wednesdays, we had lentils and kale and carrots and squash, a very colorful medley. And we also had some purple sauerkraut. And one day, a little boy said, "Miss Adrienne, can I have some more sauerkraut? I mean sauerkraut? No, I mean powerkraut." And then he put up his little arm like Popeye the Sailor Man, like he was a strong little guy. And I had 16 little children, little 5- and 6-year-olds, just jumping for joy at the table about the word powerkraut. So they said, "You have to call it powerkraut." And for me, it's such a blessing to do this work and a gift, because I believe in each person that there's, even though what age we are, we all have a child at heart, and we all can tap into this abundant energy that is so grateful and appreciative of and in awe of the natural world. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the force that we can, this childlike force within us, that we can really turn things around.
Well, your family has long been involved. You mean you're a fourth generation pickle maker?
Yes. My heritage comes from Germany, and my great-great-grandfather was making pickles in a wooden barrel 6 months out of the year with a salt brine solution, and therefore it was a live probiotic culture.
And so this has been an important, this whole business about fermentation and live culture really goes back quite a way in our cultural heritage here in the state.
Yes, for Wisconsin and even in the world, it's a documented many thousands of years ago that people were fermenting grains and vegetables and then later dairy products. And are even coming over from Europe to the Americas, people, that's how they mainly prevented scurvy, was they found that sauerkraut had such an abundance of vitamin C, and they could keep it at a good temperature in the hulls of the ship where it was cool. This is very similar to the Koreans in Korea that make kimchi. Many of them have clay vessels that's kept in the earth at 55 degrees. So at this temperature, the fermented food will remain stable. It's a live culture. The bacteria produce lactic acid, which becomes in the life-preserving medium. And there's no need to pasteurize it or heat can it or for shelf life or for stability. It just needs to stay cool.
Are we seem to be seeing maybe a resurgence in interest in this whole area of fermented foods and preserving and canning?
Oh, there's a huge resurgence of interest. When we were planning the key ingredients exhibit, we were looking for accompanying programs. And so we were looking to the HCE, formerly the Homemakers, of Extension for kind of the ancient wisdom of canning and preserving. And they're still around, and they're still doing it. So we have, in our programming, we have people who've been doing it all their lives and are doing it the way that their parents did it and their grandparents did it. And then we have people who have rediscovered it and perhaps put their own spin on it. So we have some of the classes are, if I can give you a couple of things
that are
coming
up. Yeah, give us some examples
here. Yeah, give me a second here. We have a Learn to Homebrew Day. That's on November 6th. That is actually a national program. And so we're doing a 5-hour Learn to Homebrew Day, which just takes you through every step in the home brewing process. And that's being done by DJ Dietz Designs in Reedsburg. We also are doing In a Pickle or a Jam, Tips for Home Canning and Food Preservation. And that is a younger woman who is sort of rediscovering it. And then we also have another one, co-taught class about sauerkraut. And Susan Holding from Little French Bakery is teaching the choucroute, the French method. Mm-hmm. And she's teaching it with her neighbor, Verla, who's an older German German immigrant who's doing it the way that her grandmother did it. And so it's something for everyone, but our culture is just ridden with this stuff. And there's so many wonderful stories that they tell when they transfer their knowledge. And one of the things we've done to try to focus on celebrating the nurturers of our community who have this ancient wisdom is we've developed some collectible trading cards, and I've left you some.
Okay.
Hot dish trading cards, we call them. So we can celebrate the nurturers of our community. And in these trading cards, we've actually, instead of baseball stats about runs batted in, we've used estimated meals served. And these women have counted up the meals that they've served over a lifetime. And there's one woman in particular who's over 67,000 meals served. And we think that that's a very important...
That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, pretty good record. Nobody's beaten her record yet, but we're looking.
Well, let's turn to... let's see here. Let's turn to Mike in Waukesha. Mike, hello.
Hi. I've often been amazed at the benefits of sauerkraut, but I heard one recently when we were having the H1N1 flu scare that sauerkraut actually helps to fend off the flu or helps the healing process, and the store shelves seem to be vacant of sauerkraut whenever we have a flu, flu epidemic being discussed.
Wow. Adrian, what do you think? You know what? I'm going to have you pause and ponder that for just a minute, because we need to take a quick look at the news, the weather, and find out what else is in store for us here on The Ideas Net. And then we'll be back and we'll hear some more from Donna Neuwirth and Adrian Fox as we talk Wisconsin's fermented foods here on The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking Wisconsin's fermented foods here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Donna Neuwirth of Reedsburg, executive director and co-founder of the Worm Farm Institute, nonprofit organization. They're working on building thriving communities through arts and sustainable agriculture. And Adrian Fox, fourth generation pickle maker and owner and creator of Power Kraut. It's a small family farm business in Viroqua, and they want to produce delicious live probiotic fermented foods to serve us all. It's great to have them along. Again, you can join us. We have one open line at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And there was a question in about the flu, and Adrian, I'm going to turn to you. People who eat sauerkraut, it may have some impact on cutting back on the flu possibilities?
It just may. I do have a lot of feedback and experience myself that it is very helpful. I'm not a doctor to prescribe or diagnose, but it is true that when your digestion is in good order and you're able to take in the nutrients and assimilate what you need from the food that you are eating, that your immune system is a little bit stronger and that your health is in good condition. So what fermented foods that are prepared in a way where the probiotic life retains its integrity, when you take in these probiotics, these live bacteria, they and the enzymes that come with them, the lactic acid medium that they create, all these things help balanced stomach acids, give us a good supply of especially vitamin C, but many other vitamins and nutrients as well.
Sure.
You also have it's also replenishing the lactobacilli that we need to replenish in our intestine. And some studies have shown that these lactobacilli, they line the surface of the intestine. And if you have a good abundance of them, they'll keep the harmful ones, bar them out a bit. So these are ways that it can be helpful.
Joy in Green Bay has a question for you. Joy, hi there. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've been doing some research on liver function, and one of the things I have seen is that fermented products have been discouraged for people that they have some liver problems. And then I also came across some information that said that some cultures, like for Muslim halal diets, also discourage fermented foods because it's similar to alcohol. And I was wondering if you could discuss fermented foods and whether it is good for livers or whether it could be a little bit more challenging.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Adrian, I'm going to turn back to you for that.
Sure. I'm not able to answer the question about the liver. I think that would be a question for a nutritionist, a doctor who has a background in nutrition. The question about the alcohol, it is true that if you ferment foods for a long time, and especially at warm temperatures, that it will create alcohol. And the alcohol, if it's kept at a warm temperature, the alcohol content can increase because you actually have these bacteria that are digesting and catabolizing the sugars and the starches within either the fruits or the vegetables or whatever you're fermenting. Mm-hmm. And their alcohol is a byproduct. But if it's fermented well and properly, then the alcohol content is very minimal. I've had product taken to an FDA microbiologist who studied food producing sauerkraut for he studied the production of sauerkraut, excuse me. He's been a microbiologist for 30 years. And I took in product that was properly fermented that had been stored for 2.5 years. And there was absolutely no sign of decomposition. There was very, very minimal alcohol content, very, very minute traces of that.
Minute traces. So yeah. A young child, well, anybody for that matter, could eat sauerkraut and not worry about alcohol effects.
They would be fine.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Lynn in Two Rivers, on to you. Hi, Lynn.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm calling just, first of all, to honor the people that are putting the show on because I myself have recovered from a severe illness, and I attribute it to fermented foods and good fats. I now have come back for about 3 years now, and I actually teach fermentation of different foods, of dairy, of vegetables, fruits, and I'm doing a program about once a month now and teaching individuals as well how to make kefir and well, kimchi, I guess we could say, kombucha. I do the corn relish, sauerkraut, a lot of the sauerkraut. And my husband's come on board with me because he helped me recover. He helped me get well. It took about 3 years, but through the fermented foods and the fermented dairy, I know kefir is one of the huge things that brought me back. I guess now I know my purpose, and that is to teach as many as I can before I pass on. I was led by a doctor, Dr. Roy Ozan, who is from Wisconsin, is an MD, but he's a homeopathist, and he teaches fermentation across the country, actually, with his patients. And I guess I'm just... I'm very, very involved in this, and when I heard it on the radio today, I thought I had to call and comment.
Well, I thank you very much for calling, Lynn, and let's turn to our guests here for a comment. Donna, comment from you?
Well, there's plenty of opportunities to learn more about various fermented foods. If you go to our website, www.wormfarminstitute.org, and go to the Fermentation Fest page, you'll see many classes, including the Powerkraut class, which is being held in November. There's also beer and cheese tasting. There's sourdough bread, which is also fermented class. Teach a friend to brew day. We do have a kombucha workshop as well. We do have a yogurt and a yogurt cheese making workshop. There's several workshops, and there are more being developed. We're hosting this this festival for 6 weeks, so this is only
the
first
festival
week.
Is on right now. It started on October 22nd, runs through December. What did I say?
December 3rd.
So. This is going on right now in Reedsburg. And again, what's your website address?
www.wormfarminstitute.org.
Wormfarminstitute.org. And that's all Worm Farm Institute, obviously all one word. All right. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate you. Oh, Adrian, did you want to make a comment as well? No, we'll pass on that. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you very much. Mary in Milwaukee, let's turn to you. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for this very positive program. I heard some interesting information a while ago from a holistic health practitioner who said that eating a good quality fermented sauerkraut may be a breast cancer preventive. The story was from Dr. David Williams, who is a chiropractor. And he said that when Polish immigrants came to this country, the women who... likely underwent a diet change, started having more incidence of breast cancer. but that their Polish sisters who remained in Europe and they continued eating the fermented diet remained healthier in this way. So that was impressed me pretty much.
You familiar with any of that, Adrian? Have you heard that? And thanks again, Mary, for calling.
Yes, there was a study in 1995, actually, from the National Cancer Research Society on working with Polish women and sauerkraut. This what exactly what she's talking about.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it, Mary. And we'll take some more calls. We've got Gertrude coming up next from West Bend. But what about you? If you have a question or comment, as we talk about our fermented foods, join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And Gertrude in West Bend, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I just last week I heard a speaker who lives near West Bend, and she runs a little organic food shop, and she said something about fermented food, sauerkraut, and how good it was, and she sells it. But she made a comment about not heating it too much, and I wondered if that's true because I love heated sauerkraut. Yeah. Another thing, does canned sauerkraut work?
All right. Adrian, we'll go to you.
When you heat sauerkraut, you do kill the bacteria, the pro-life bacteria. So it will no longer be a probiotic food, but it can serve you in terms of still having some definitely nutritional value, and some of the vitamins will still be present. And some of the enzymes will also be destroyed through heating. So what happens with the sauerkraut that is on the shelf is it's been heat canned. It's been cooked or processed to be pasteurized. And therefore, the probiotic bacteria are no longer alive. So what you want to look for is if you want the probiotic value, then you want to look for a refrigerated sauerkraut that and check if it's been pasteurized. There's actually a couple on the shelf that are pasteurized, but they're in the refrigerated section. So you need to check on the label. It'll usually say that it's raw.
Yeah, and if it's been pasteurized, obviously the bacteria have died.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. But go ahead.
So if you want to eat sauerkraut warm, you can still do that. And you can also, one thing that I do is I prepare food and then I'll dress it with sauerkraut or so that I have the flavor there but it's still fresh. Mm-hmm. That's one thing you can do, and you can still cook it if you want.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And someone wondered about kimchi. I had an emailer, I believe, who asked about making kimchi. What about making kimchi?
That's yours, Adrian.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is traditionally made in Korea. They eat it almost with every meal. And it, as I mentioned earlier, it is often in Korea made in clay vessels and fermented in the ground at a cooler temperature. But obviously, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, now people are wondering, what is kimchi?
Kimchi is like a Korean sauerkraut. It has cabbage. Mostly it has the basic ingredients of cabbage, often some sort of radish, which could be daikon radish, which is a long, mild white radish. Often it has peppers. Often it's very spicy. There are thousands of recipes for kimchi, but those are the main ingredients.
Okay.
Doesn't some of it have fish?
Some does have fish. I make a vegetarian style, but if you have heard that kimchi can smell very strong, you can imagine if it has fermented fish, it can be very strong, a strong odor.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a shortage of it in Korea right now, and it's making a lot of people very unhappy.
Well, have you thought about expanding your sales?
It takes me a long time to make kimchi. It takes me about 3 hours to make 3 gallons of kimchi because I make everything with a knife and cutting board. So I believe that the energy that we put in the food and how we prepare food, how we serve food is just as important as how we grow food.
And this, I guess next year, isn't that your 10th anniversary of pioneering and running Wisconsin's first 100% organic hot lunch program.
Yes, and it's still going strong.
And just describe, was it hard to get that started?
No, if anyone's interested, if there are parents and teachers that are interested, please, you can contact me through my website, which is organicpowerkraut.com, and I would be glad to be of service. I would love to see more healthy food for the children.
Yeah. And what's the school? What school?
This is at the Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School in Viroqua, Wisconsin, and I passed the program on after 3 years to a gentleman by the name of Jim Hallberg, who has just pioneered our community radio station.
Oh, good for him! So the results of this, obviously, it's been going on for 10 years. So people seem to are liking it and enjoying it.
Yes, it's a wonderful program. Actually, creating a good kitchen for and good food for the children is really community inspiring. We had parent volunteers coming in helping. We had handicapped and challenged individuals coming into the kitchen to learn skills, to interface with the students. We had 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students serving, and this continues today. I would invite children in who are having a hard day in the classroom that just needed a little bit of tender, loving care and a break. And there's so much warmth and joy that can come from people coming together through the kitchen or the hearth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have an email from Gray who's preserving edible soybeans in a canning jar filled with vinegar, wondering if it's refrigerated, how long could something like that keep? And maybe how to better preserve it.
I can say that I don't know. I don't really preserve with vinegar, so I have very limited experience because I'm always using salt to a live brine or a live brine solution to preserve and to ferment. So I don't know.
All right. So we can't help you out on that one. If you have a question, though, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Donna, you're also a CSA market coordinator for Wisconsin Home Harvest. Can you talk about that a bit?
Sure. We just finished our third year as a consortium of growers after 12 years of doing our own CSA. We look forward to adding more farmers and more eaters and to grow the local economy in the Reedsburg and Sauk County area and get healthy food into more homes and kitchens and schools, although I hear that that's a little bit trickier. Hospitals are supposed to be a little easier because the school year is often runs in opposition to the growing year, and hospitals have the need year-round. So we hope to continue building relationships in order to make that happen.
And before we go back to the phones, I want to go back to the event that's going on right now and will continue on through December 3rd. So this Reedsburg Fermentation Fest. So this is an ongoing thing. And so if Renee and I drive down and Emily drive to Reedsburg this weekend, what could we expect to find?
Well, the main course, as we said earlier, is the Traveling Smithsonian exhibit, Key Ingredients, America by Food. And it does, the Smithsonian has created an exhibit that travels around the country that tells the rich cultural stories of food ways from Maine to Honolulu. And then hearing the stories about Korea and the German immigrants and the Norwegian immigrants that have grown made sauerkraut for years is just a perfect example of how culture lives with our food, and literally as well as metaphorically. And the Smithsonian exhibit allows us to use it to leverage our own local food stories. And so over the past year, we've been working with the Wisconsin Humanities Council to bring this exhibit to Sauk County and develop our own food stories. And so, for example, we have one local exhibit about a ton of green butter from Sauk, City in the 1950s, and that ties to our long dairy history. And what happened, a lot of people under the age of 60 don't know about the Oleo Wars.
Oh!
but the old people are happy to share their stories of smuggling oleo from the Illinois border. And apparently the editor of the paper in Sauk City launched a protest and said, rather than eat your damned yellow oleo, we're going to dye this vat of a ton of butter green. And they did, and they sold out by midday. And they the entire issue of that week's paper was printed in green ink. So we have a copy of that newspaper blown up on the wall, and we have the artifacts surrounding it. And I'm telling you, we hear more stories about people's individual experiences with butter versus oleo and how we fought to preserve the dairy state longer than any other state in the country. And that's just one of many stories we've unearthed.
People are going to find out more probably at your website, too.
Yes, and also because we have this up for 6 weeks, there will be exhibits that rotate in and out. And because we are primarily an arts organization, we do a lot with the arts. So we have a wonderful exhibit of pottery by a local artist named Wind Byers. Mm-hmm. And we have paintings, a food painting a day by another artist named Carrie Cochran from our area. And that will continue.
Right through December 3rd. Mm-hmm. And go to wormfarminstitute.org to find out more. Let's go to David in Stevens Point. David, hi.
Hi. Hi, Larry.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I think she should have mentioned one of the negatives about kimchi. Almost 60 years ago in Korea, that stuff stinks. It really stinks.
I think that was mentioned, actually.
just people eat it. Their clothing smells of it and so forth.
Well, there's some truth to that, isn't there, Adrian?
It can have a strong odor, as I mentioned before, especially if there's fermented fish, you can imagine. But I find that the vegetarian version is not so strong.
It's not so strong.
Still is,
we must remember that we eat Limburger cheese around here.
That's true. That is very true. Thanks, David. Let's go to David in Sharon, Wisconsin. David, hello.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just had a quick question and maybe some direction I could get from you. I have been for years pickling hot peppers, and I find that they all seem to taste alike, but if you have them naturally, they all have their different flavor. And I was wondering if brining, this live brining, would be something that is better preserving of a flavor. And if so, where would I look to maybe try to get that as part of my process?
Okay. Adrian?
I have not fermented peppers just solely on their own. I've only fermented peppers with other vegetables. I'm thinking you could experiment. The microbiologist from the FDA that I spoke to recommends 3 tablespoons of salt per gallon of sauerkraut. And I use that pretty steadfast. I give or take some for other vegetables as well. But you could give that a try.
So 3 tablespoons of plain old table salt?
Not plain old table salt. Better no. Without the iodine. And better if it's sea salt. You can use real salt. These are different companies. Celtic sea salt, Himalayan salt. These natural sea salts that have a lot of trace minerals left in them. This is really important for the life of the bacteria. They need these for good growth.
What about kosher salt?
No. I'm not sure. I haven't used kosher salt, I'd have to look into that.
But 3 tablespoons and a gallon of water of the other, and as you mentioned, and that, why not give it a try and see what happens?
Yes. Now, with sauerkraut, when you're making sauerkraut, when you bring salt into a grated cabbage, then the salt induces osmosis. So you're releasing a lot of water that is present in the cabbage. Yeah. So you really don't need to add water
for that.
And it might be different than with peppers. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to have to close. Thank you so much. And I want to give your websites again. Wormfarminstitute.org is one of the websites, and the other, organicpowerkraut.com. And the latter connected with Adrian Fox and the former connected with Donna Neuwirth. Thank you so much. I enjoyed being with you and talking with you. Hope we can do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.